The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent by God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to testify to the light. And this is a testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened at Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, over the last couple of Sundays, last Sunday especially, we have been dealing with John the Baptist. So this morning, we'll change that a little bit, and I'm going to look at first and second readings, and especially at the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And these are so, for the use of a better word, so uplifting. In the prophet Isaiah, from the book of, hold on a minute now, got the right page. From the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings, good news to the poor." So I began off this morning by asking myself the question, do I bring glad tidings at this moment in time? Do I help people to feel better? Or do I make them, so to speak, more depressed? And Isaiah says, "I rejoice heartily in the Lord." And then from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, now you might be interested to know that this is, of all the books in the New Testament, the first letter to the Thessalonians is probably the oldest, written about the year 1550. So less than 20 years after the time of Jesus. And just listen again to the words for a moment. Absolutely beautiful. "Brothers and sisters," he's talking to you, "rejoice always." Now you might say, stop. How can I rejoice always? Surely that's not being real. Surely that is not being realistic. Well, listen a little further. "Pray without ceasing." Again, you might say, now hold on, hold on. How can I always be praying? I have many other things to do. I have a family to look after. I have a job. So how can I be always praying? Well, so listen again. What's the secret? In all, not some, in all circumstances, give thanks. Always be thankful. I firmly believe in my own life, and I've said it many times before, gratitude is the mother of joy. In other words, a grateful, thankful heart cannot be unhappy. Gratitude is the mother of joy. So let's see if we can bring that and make it more realistic and bring it right up to date where we are at this moment in time. And we go back to where we are, December the 13th, 2020. And we're going, and we're in the midst of a terrible pandemic. And many, many, many people are suffering. Many people are very worried at the moment. And I can understand that. And I would have no business here if I didn't. But yet, how can we cope with that? Well, God is not never lets us down. So we go to the end of that little reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, where he says, the one who calls you is faithful. He will also accomplish it. Isn't it interesting at this time, as we're struggling for any light at the end of the tunnel, that suddenly we have the announcement and hopefully the possibility of receiving an antidote to this terrible virus. I referred to the vaccine that has been developed and soon hopefully will be made available to anyone who wants to receive it. And into the gospel and into our Mass this morning also comes Mary. Yesterday at Mass we celebrated the beautiful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I read the gospel of the visitation where Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth rejoiced when she saw Mary, said, of all women, you are the most blessed. And Mary and Elizabeth were living in a very hostile environment where women were continually being put down. And Elizabeth and Mary have been the first victims of violence and oppression, that God was keeping his promise to lift them up by pulling down the powerful from their thrones. If you read the beautiful Magnificat, Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior. So they were uplifting all the women of the world. That was Mary. And we have a great intercessor in Mary. And we come then to the gospel this morning, and we come again to John the Baptist. And what did John do? Well, I suppose he lit a light in the darkness. And He passed that light on to Christ. And now, and then, Christ passed that on to us. Now, I often think when it comes to Christmas, we get very, very sentimental. And, isn't that lovely? A little baby in the crib, and it's all lovely and nice carols being sung and so on. But listen, let's put it into context for a moment. This little baby that was born in Bethlehem was born in, again, to a very hostile world. And soon after he was born, he became, what, a refugee. And so, look how realistic and up-to-date it is. And today, many women and pregnant women and many women with children are fleeing from violence, oppression, fleeing for their lives, just as Mary and Joseph had to flee to a foreign country with a newborn child. Don't you think God, in the person of Jesus, is wonderful? That he really came to show us the way. And I think we missed that point when we just say, oh, he died to save us. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And truth and love always win out in the end. And tyrants and unjust dictators and leaders who are more interested in what they can gain for themselves rather than for the people, they all in time disappear. All of them. And the truth always, always wins. And tyrants and dictators fall. Always. Always. So as we look forward to Christmas and to a new year, let's rejoice and be glad and be more aware of our blessings than what is not right in our lives or in our environment at the time. We live in an imperfect world. Nothing is ever going to be totally perfect. But listen, we have things to look forward to. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We look forward to hopefully very soon being able to receive the vaccine. We look forward to a new administration here in this country. And wouldn't it be wonderful to think, and I think we ought to pray for unity. Let's get rid of all the anger and the bitterness and the resentment. And so my prayer today is not to carry any of that. Let it not become part of my life, and let it not become part of your life, and continue. But be real. We have to be realistic. For some people, they're not happy with how things are at the moment, and some people will be happy. That's life. That's human. But let's not fall into the trap of violence and anger and bitterness, but as Jesus wants us to do, always, always, always practice love.